Thank you so much for coming back to the Amber May Show. I am so excited that you are here with me because I have a show for you today. I have brought my friend John to come on the program, and we talk about a plethora of things. We talk about COVID and the things behind COVID. We talk about the election dating back to 92 with Clinton and Bush, and we talk about America First Step. We talk about FTX. We talk about China. There is so much that we talk about. So it's going to be a part one and two. So I hope you will stay tuned to both days. Hey, I am always bringing more information to Telegram. So join my Telegram channel at The Amber May Show. You can also find me at True Social at Amber May, Frank Social at Amber May. But I always carry on more conversation. You're going to get more content there. So join me on Telegram or one of those platforms. And please become an angel investor or consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com and click the donate button and donate $5, $10, $20, $100, whatever you'd like to donate. And that helps me support this program. We are not backed by Big Pharma, so that would be such a blessing to me. Or you can go to theambermayshow.locals.com and become a $5 monthly subscriber as well there. So I am so excited to be partnering with you and having the show. So up next, we are talking about so many different topics. I hope you really enjoy today's episode. Special guest today. You may not know him, but I think the show is going to be really amazing and very interesting and very informative. Joining me today is John Gudsey. Welcome to the program today. Thank you so much for joining me.
No problem. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So, like, you and I have met through mutual friends, and we've been chatting off and on. And I'm just really blown away by a lot of the things that you know. And so I'm just excited to introduce you to my audience. And someday, sir, you're going to have to get your own show and we can continue doing shows together. But you definitely have a lot of knowledge that you need to share with the world. So what is something today that is really on your heart or something that you've been thinking about, something you've been investigating? What is it today that you want to get across to people?
Oh, there's a multitude of things that we could talk about, but the interesting thing about most of them is they all kind of intertwine with each other, and the day-to-day things that we're seeing being exposed right now, anywhere from FTX to Jeffrey Epstein to Fauci to what happened with COVID, how it was treated, how they used a very strategic divide and conquer plan to have a group of people that said it didn't exist and it wasn't real, and they had a group of people that said it was gonna, that it existed, everybody was crazy that said that it didn't, and the they are gonna, that everybody's gonna die mm-hmm. if we don't follow the rules 100% mm-hmm. to a T. And it was a very good play, and this is a standard operating procedure for them. They have a playbook, and they're one of their biggest plays in every one of their playbooks is divide and conquer. Mm-hmm. To try and keep us on two sides of the aisle so we won't come to the realization of the answer that is in the middle. So I'm gonna let you go ahead and decide
what's your background? Like, when did you finally come to the conclusion, like, wow, our country is captured, or it's about to be captured, or wow, we aren't necessarily a republic, like we're about to lose our republic? Like, when did your experience,
were we a corporation?
Well, that I've heard that too. A lot of people I know believe that, and maybe that's true. I don't know. I just tend to stay away from that particular story as much, just because to me that is one of the things, but the other things are more kind of major right now. So I don't touch on that, but we can. I mean, we can touch on it. But like, when was your wake up time? When was your when did you start being like, oh, wait a minute. Things aren't like I thought they were.
My wake up time was probably somewhere around 2015. And it was an issue I had to deal with personally with some things that led me to try to understand taxes in the IRS. Mm. And the taxes in the IRS thing led me to a young lady who is a little bit older lady now, named Sherry Peel Jackson. I think it's Sherry Peel Jackson. And then another gentleman named Joe Bannister, who were former IRS agents. And their stories, if anybody wants to follow them and look up, are amazing. Sherry Peel Jackson was one of the number one collection IRS agents in her department, right? She was one of the tops. And she decided to take time off from work to have a family and raise her kids, which, you know, conservative people can completely understand that. And I believe it was 2000, maybe 2001, somewhere right around that range. A lot of this stuff gets foggy after you get so much stuff in your head as far as right. Exactly. But she saw a paper, USA Today, I believe, that had the front page. They had taken the whole front page out and it said, if anybody could prove that the average person providing a service somebody had to pay federal taxes on the income that they made, that they would pay them $50,000.
That was a really good documentary. I think we saw the same documentary.
But I haven't even seen the documentary. I just saw her excerpts from it. And she was one of the top eight collection agents. She's like, I'm going to get this money. And she went out there and she tried and tried and tried and tried and tried. And she explains how the handbooks that they give you point you to there. She explains how the jury selection and the issues when you're tried for this stuff, and how the courts manipulate things to make you feel like you versus the other people. They've explained over and over and over again how they surround this whole thing that doesn't even exist, and how when you the only thing that they have that's appropriate from paperwork wise, I believe, is when you fill out a 1040 and file for your taxes, you're agreeing to pay taxes. And when you fill out a, at least for the major banks, when you file under penalty of perjury, that is also a way they can legally tie you to paying taxes. And but these guys have, they've been out of the system for years, and neither one of them have paid taxes for decades. And it's because of the research they did as former top IRS agents. They put Sherry Peel Jackson in jail for a couple of years, I think, just for trying to expose this. And they tried to do the same thing to Joe Bannister. Now, when I saw that, I was like, all right, something is awry. Mm-hmm. Right? So I had a little bit of time. I was working as a flight medic, I believe, out in Yuma at the time. And so we had a lot of downtime. You know, once you get you're educated and you're up on things, you have a lot of downtime. I had a lot of drive time back and forth to Yuma. So I started doing a ton of research. And
just for people who don't live in Arizona, Yuma is on the western border by California. So it's probably, what, 3 hours, two to three hours away from the Phoenix area.
Phoenix, yeah. And so one day, you know, after I had kind of dove deep into this, I went to viewed some of the extreme stuff, viewed some of the stuff that I believe could also be manipulation too on a divide and conquer side. You've seen how people, what they did to Alex Jones as far as deplatforming him, and how they said that Sandy Hook, he was saying it didn't happen. So what you're doing there in that platform is you're pushing people away from anything that could have any information that could be related to that guy. Mm-hmm. The ironic thing is if you go back over the years, then there's videos of all the things that he said was going on, mm-hmm. all the way starting with Samsung's smart TV in 1996 that said it was watching you. Now, we all know this is happening now, right? That was in the brochure. He just read the brochure and they attacked him and called him a conspiracy theorist. I'm like, all right, I understand what they're doing with conspiracy theorists now, what the terminology is. But it was amazing to me how everybody just kind of bit on that when the guy was reading the pamphlet from Samsung. And, you know, I really don't think he's the worst or the best deliverer of a message.
Right.
To be honest with you. there are better people that did, but a lot of that, for a lot of people, he was the first guy that they saw. He was the guy that was out there today. And to see somebody deplatformed like that is also a big red flag for people. Mm-hmm. So there were some things there that I caught from him, and then I moved on to some other people to follow up. Then, you know, just doing a lot of your own research when you see things. Meeting a lot of the people who I've met through doing the Uber Select and the Lyft Lux over the years, the higher end people, the ability to communicate with people and just talk to them about their lives, their jobs, their history. If we all did that, we would come together very quickly, and we would put our partisan politics aside, and we would really see that all of us are aiming for the same goal.
Oh, yeah. I agree. I think this could be the biggest uniting our country's ever had, because what do we care about? We care about having food affordable for families. We care about safety, having a safe country to live in and not have cartels just come in droves. We care about, you know, being able to vote and have our vote actually matter. We care about a lot of the same issues, but yet the mind control and the propaganda spins it to where it looks like it's us versus them. And they did a brilliant job of COVID. I mean, brilliant with the mind control, saying it's the disease of the unvaccinated. Way to put an enemy out there for everyone to attack. It's the same thing that Hitler did back in World War II to make the Jews the enemy of their friends and their neighbors. They twisted things and they blamed things on things that weren't even their fault. And the nonstop propaganda started making people believe, oh, it's the Jews. The Jews did this. It's the Jews' fault. It's same thing with COVID. And so they turned friends and family against each other with that powerful mind control. Very powerful.
And it's a point where people don't even understand when they're seeing it. There's a great story from this. I was working with a young kid new to the job. We were going into the hospitals doing our job. I won't name the company or anything like that. And he was talking to me about what you were talking about, propaganda and the Nazis. And it was 19 years old, I believe, which I found it very interesting that he had taken that course to study some of that stuff and been, you know, interested in it. And he went on for some time about it, and I listened to him. And I told him I want him to do, this is probably had to be August, September, October of 2020. And I told him I want him to do something for me. And when we're walking throughout all these different facilities that we visited that day, and we went into each one and we looked at the entryways for the professional and the non-professional people. And we looked at the what people were wearing. And we looked at what people were watching. And I just pointed to him every time when I saw something that was propaganda. And we didn't say anything. We didn't communicate with each other inside the facilities. And by the end of the day, he was like, I can't believe this is all sitting right in front of my face and I didn't see it. Now, what I was pointing to was the custom-made signs that you are a hero for doing what you're doing, for all of the medical staff, the healthcare hero shirts that were on everybody that was probably under 40, maybe under 30. They were wearing them. And I noticed the other people were wearing scrub tops for the most part. Any of the facility workers that were there that had shirts on that said, I'm an essential worker. Right. And then the get the jab scenarios, the get the jab shot was get the shot, get the jab. Save a life. I mean, when you would walk by the computer screens, it was a screensavers for all the screensavers. Mm. And one of them had 30 computers basically facing one direction, and they're all at the same time on the screensaver. I'm like, just look at it, man. It's right there in front of you, but you don't even notice it.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. Hey guys, I want to give you a pro tip to help keep your family healthy when everyone around you is coughing, sniffling, or sneezing, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go first to drstellamd.com. When you're there, go ahead and grab some COVID bites. Also, get your ivermectin, set up your telemed appointment, and get your ivermectin. I'm going to give you a promo code to help you save some money, and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and that'll help you save money. Now, here's your pro tip for you. You can use this on your entire family. The adult dose is 2. I've talked to a medical expert. They said cut it in half when you're dealing with children. So 1 tablet. What I do with my kids, because it's just too big of a pill for them, I get a blender. I put a pill in there. I fill it with water and like some flavoring, and then boom, I have them drink it before school. Pro tip, and what it has, and it's amazing. It has quercetin, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, all the therapeutics to help keep your body healthy and working at optimum health. Support your body's immune system when you use the Kobe Bites. They're amazing. So go to drstellamd.com, grab your Kobe Bites, get your ivermectin, use promo code AmberMay, and save some money.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I want to thank each and every one of you for your support by bringing you the pillow that started it all. Get my standard My Pillow, regularly $49.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Just like all of you, I've tried every pillow out there, and none of them worked. That's why I invented My Pillow. My patented pill adjusts your exact individual needs, helps keep your neck aligned, and it holds its shape all night long, regardless of your sleep position. So you get the best sleep of your life. Because it works, we've sold over 70 million MyPillows, and now I'm bringing them to you for the lowest price ever. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code, and you'll get my standard MyPillow for only $19.98. For a more custom fit, my Premium Queen for only $27.98. Or my Premium King, only $34.98. My 60-day money-back guarantees it'll be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own.
Hey, everybody, this is Cash Patel, and you're watching The Amber May Show.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
And it's subliminal in a way, and those things have been out there for decades. Mm-hmm. Now some people are starting to wake up to it, but this kid was having a conversation with me about the propaganda of Nazism.
Wow.
When the propaganda of COVID was right in front of his face.
Wow. Actually, and he didn't see it until you pointed it out. See, like when you went grocery shopping, you heard it over the intercom about COVID and getting the jab and saving grandma and saving your friend and the 6 feet apart, and you kept hearing it over. And then when you walked into any store, you had the sign right in front of your face. And then you had CNN and you had Fox and you had MSNBC and all of them propagandizing. They all said the same thing. You know what I like about alt media? Is maybe we're all going to the same goal to like show people how captured our country is, but none of us are saying things verbatim. If you look at Walletmore, it's all verbatim. Walletmore is a chip that's in your hand that will be used for a digital currency. They all use the same words. COVID, they all use the same words. I'm like, how is that possible? How is a local newscaster from California saying the exact same words as a local newscaster in New York?
So Kroger in Kroger, which is Fry's out here, right? Not attacking Fry's, but Kroger had a constant message playing in the background when you were walking through Fry's.
Yes, they did.
So I'm assuming it's Kroger, the Kroger brand, or it's a corporation that owns Fry's and maybe some other entities, or maybe they're all, you know, signed up to the same thing. But when I went different parts of the country, I saw Kroger, right? And that same message is playing in the background. So from here to Ohio. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty good message apart. And I had people calling me from Ohio thinking that their kids were going to be taken from them and that they were going to die from COVID and they wouldn't be able to be with them. And it took some time to calm a lot of the people down. But what really was able for me to be able to help people through COVID wasn't just telling them that it's not as bad as it is, that it's manipulated, that there's a media marketing campaign for this. The important thing was knowing how it worked, knowing the exact pathophysiology of how it worked, and not having answers like that from a physician or from an epidemiologist even. Now, I was fortunate enough to be in the job I was in. At the time, was doing international flight recon for a company that did mostly stuff out of Canada. They were recon for the Canadian insurance company.
Oh, man. Canada was so captured.
When I went to Canada, my last flight to Canada, the police came on board with the border patrol. The flight, they wouldn't let us off the plane except to order to unload the patient. And we weren't allowed to use the bathroom. And they came on with just regular masks, like N95s. And they might have had goggles on. But by that time, I had figured things out, and I was okay with, you know, whatever the patients were okay with. And the guy had a broken leg. They read him essentially his rights and told him that if he left the house within 2 weeks, that he would be subject to a $1 million fine and 3 years in prison. And I looked at our pilots, and I'm like, doesn't look good, man. We might need to be looking for new jobs. And then the ambulance rolled up and the guys were in pretty much like full gear, like biohazard suits. And I'm like, they're like, why aren't you guys wearing protective gear? And I'm like, oh man, this is not good. And, it was weird because the ambulance was wearing far more protective gear than the people that were coming on the plane from the border patrol and the police. Nothing was in alignment. You know, they wanted people to see the ambulance guys wearing this stuff. They wanted people to see the perception here. And there's a gentleman I listen to called the Dollar Vigilante. It's a different podcast, but the guy is from Canada. And I listened to him in the very beginning. He said, this is going to be 2 years minimum. And I'm like, no way, man. The answer to this is $8. There's no way it's going to be 2 years minimum. And then when Trump came out and pretty much laid out the answer to everybody that was having an issue, was off of a Harvard study. I believe it was Harvard or Stanford, but I'm pretty sure it was Harvard, with a French researcher, and a legit study, and it just went by the wayside. It was manipulated by the NIH. It was manipulated by the Lancet trial, which is all thrown out the window now. Mm-hmm. The thing about it is most people understand about mainstream media, and they need to understand about the mainstream media. They will put out a fake story with current facts. Or current said to be possible facts that are easily disproven and debunked within maybe the matter of days. It doesn't matter that it's debunked, because the mainstream story was on the front page of the mainstream media with this flimsy at best information. And then when they say, oh yeah, we were wrong, that's on the 99th page of a 50 page newspaper, and you don't see it. They can say, oh, but we wrote the I forgot what the word is for that, another document or whatever on it, and it's just right here. Yeah, we understand, but so they do it for a liability thing, but they take the liability off. And one of the interesting things in the medical facilities, other than people that are doing research, and I think people confuse me when I have this conversation with them. When you're doing research and you're doing research on a medication and you're putting out a research project for COVID, like for one of the steroids or one of the other many things that we were trying to throw at this.
Budesonide, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine.
Right. There's a couple places that we're doing that. There's a couple places we're doing some of the other therapies and aerosol therapies and stuff like that. And they are doing research there. There is information moving about COVID there. But in general, at most facilities, and you can ask people that work, they will probably tell you, outside of what's written by the CDC, they get no training on COVID. We have no training on the pathophysiology of how it works. We have no training on transmission is one thing, but the people that become very sick from COVID, the people that end up in the ICU, for them it isn't about transmission. It's about the underlying condition that's going to cause their body to have an overreaction of their immune system, which is going to attack itself, which is going to cause the red blood cells to shed the iron. The iron's going to free flow throughout your body, strokes, clots, DVTs. And we're not really sure yet, but is that the cause of the inflammation of the lungs bilaterally? That makes sense. It doesn't really matter what the cause of the inflammation is, if it's the iron or not, other than take zinc to pull out iron from your system. And you have the lungs inflamed, and then the lungs inflamed, you can't transfer oxygen. When you can't transfer oxygen, you end up with dead space, and the dead space ends up being pneumonia quite often, just like it is with a couple of other lung conditions. And in those lung conditions like pulmonary fibrosis, most people end up with bacterial pneumonia. And a doctor
let me pause you there. When they in the hospital were giving you remdesivir, it would shut your kidneys. Your kidneys is what helps you excrete liquid in your body. So, you know, eventually you have to go to the bathroom and excrete all that waste out of your urine. Well, when your kidneys don't work, you cannot excrete any urine out of your body. So it's going to build up. And where's it going to go? One place is the lungs. And so it was almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy because they were giving you a poison to shut down an organ that couldn't release any fluid out of your body. And you got really sick. I mean, the whole thing was such a nasty. Do you know that
remdesivir was refused by, I believe it was the FDA for usage in Ebola, which had a 50% kill rate?
I think I remember reading that. Yes.
And the reason for it was because it caused inflammations of the lungs and the shutdown of the kidneys.
It failed its medical trial.
This is the paper. This is the paperwork that that everybody can look up and see. The thing you can't see when you talk to nurses, if you talk to a nurse that handled remdesivir on the floor in a hospital, most of them will tell you they treated it like gold and made like 7 people sign off on it. They're going to over-exaggerate, but they did make multiple people sign off on it. And it was a real pain in the butt. And it was the gold standard treatment. But they were also initially charging $4,000. A treatment for it, I believe, went down to $3,300. These are all ballpark figures that I've been told. I haven't actually got to see any of the bills or anything like that. But when you assess that situation right there and you look back on it, one of my neighbors was a charge nurse from one of the hospitals out here, 2 floors of COVID. She said the same thing I said to you. They never give her any pathophysiology or any reason why we're changing anything. They all just say CDC guidelines. And I asked her about remdesivir. She said it didn't help one person.
Not one.
And some people, they were able to pull through it, even if they got remdesivir, right?
And a few of those, but a vast majority were not. No, not to change subject, because that's a whole thing in and of itself. But yesterday you were trying to give me some information about Binance and other things like that. So what were you trying to educate me on yesterday or share with me information yesterday?
So when things happen like FTX, and I've been in the crypto space for some time, have several people across the world that are in the crypto space with me, and I get to talk to them about how their economies are in geopolitics and finance out there. We watch a lot of people react in the markets instantly. And after, God, what was it? There's a few things that have happened in the last 5 years where I don't react anymore the day one of whatever happens. I just wait to see how it plays out, because usually the mainstream media story, and one of the most important ones was how COVID transferred to Russia instantly, and everybody bought it hook, line, and sinker. Everybody was like, I'm not trusting the media anymore. It's not looking good. And then next thing you know, both sides in line, like somebody cracked a whip and they're back in line in the media.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
When you have your holiday, you could get the beloved cheesecakes. They're so delicious. I'm so excited. We have family over. We're going to enjoy this wonderful, delicious cheesecake. And if you use promo code Amber, you could save some money at checkout.
It was so delicious. I was only going to have one piece. But I had her cut it. I had her cut the piece just like the sliver. I got to have 3 pieces.
What did you think about the cheesecake?
I loved it. It was really rich, really yummy. I had the chocolate, and it was very, very good. And I really appreciate you that we got to eat some. Thank you.
Hey, so when it's the next celebration in your household, or you have company coming over, or you just have a craving for cheesecake, make sure you visit belovedcheesecake.com. Use promo code AmberMay at checkout to save some money. That's belovedcheesecakes.com. Remember, promo code Amber at checkout. Now the moment of truth has arrived. Is it delicious? Is it not delicious? That is the question. So it has multiple superfoods. It has a lot in it. You're not just getting coffee. You're getting a lot more than just coffee. But hey, if you want to lose weight, this is one tool you can do that. Because, okay. This looks amazing. That might be the way. That might be the way. It's nice, cool, tasty. It's a good refreshing. And I'm losing weight right now as I drink this. So that's amberme.myinfinity.com, and the links are in the description. Government-induced inflation, taxes, rising interest rates, all of these can have a dramatic effect on our investments. So why not buy some gold and silver? Gold and silver throughout history has been a stabilizer in people's portfolio. Protect your wealth, protect your assets by purchasing gold and silver. The easiest way to do that is contacting Jim, who you've seen on our program, Jim Tewalt, with EPS Wealth Management. That's Edward Paul Sam, EPSWealthManagement.com. There you can go ahead and contact him and say, hey, I would love to get my hands on some gold and silver, especially with the electronic currency that is looming on our horizon. So if they go to a total digital currency, it might be wise to have some tangible assets in your portfolio for trading. But you never know when they might cut off your income stream. So go to EPS, Edward Paul Sam, EPSWealthManagement.com. Ask for Jim Tewalt to make sure you have some gold and silver in your portfolio. Let him know Amber May sent you. The information provided in this commentary is for educational and informational purposes only and does not constitute investment advice, and it should not be relied on as such. It should not be considered a solicitation to buy or an offer or sell a security. It does not take into account any investor's particular investment objectives, strategies, tax status, or investment horizons. You should contact your attorney or tax advisor. The views expressed in this commentary are subject to change based on market and other conditions. This commentary may contain certain statements that may be deemed forward-looking statements. Please know that any such statements are not guaranteed of any future performance or actual result or development may differ materially from those projected.
Welcome to the Amber May TV show.
You are listening to the Amber May show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
But with Binance, when you go into the Twitter sphere, and this is a financial thing, so there's a lot of people on Twitter that will copy and paste and post and repost all these things. That's how FTX fell. The CEO of Binance exposed them for being a fraud, and he did that publicly. And everybody just pulled their money out, and it completely collapsed. Now, the CEO has ties to.
The CEO of Binance?
Yeah, he has ties to a couple different groups of people. Binance is, in my opinion, the biggest, strongest cryptocurrency exchange out there right now. That's not in the U.S. especially. And they were heavily attacked after this FTX thing, and they were able to make it through. Tons of liquidity was pulled out. A lot of money was moved. They tried to collapse them, and it didn't happen. The interesting thing about it is Binance let a lot of money go with FTX. They didn't funnel their money out first and then take out FTX. And one of the reasons for that, I believe, is because, you know, all this stuff is trackable. These transactions, when you move crypto wallets and stuff like that, it might take time, but in time, I think we're going to have more accountability for things, and you'll have less cheating and things like that when more things are on the blockchain. When I saw this, I had just noticed that one of the funders of Elon Musk buying Twitter was the CEO of Binance. And so it looks like they're exposing a lot of this stuff. And the interesting thing about Sam Bankman-Fried and what was going on with him is that when you file for bankruptcy, you're pretty much told to go into a hole and don't say anything to anybody about nothing. And this guy's out there texting girls on Twitter who were reporters and DMing them, and the DMs are being released or leaked. The leaked information is just to me anymore. I don't even believe it's leaked half the time. I believe it's strategically placed in front of people.
I agree with that.
Something that they didn't.
That's how they were accumulating wealth and power, because, man, the Democrat Party was the first one that got captured by crime syndicates mixed with intelligence agencies, and then they blackmailed people with sexual blackmail, and then they would go after other sections of their own friends or, I don't know, affiliates, so that they could take over their business, their wealth, their power to accumulate more wealth, more power. This has been a historical event in our country for some time. So I'm thinking, is this some of the same moves? Are they just trying to get more power by taking out another competitor or another person? I don't know. When I hear that, that's where my mind goes. I'm like, are they trying to consolidate and get more power, more money?
Well, why would they?
Why
would they take out Sam Bankman-Fried when a lot of the money that was funneled through him went to the Democrat Party? He was the number two donor behind George Soros.
Right. I can't help but think. I have to put it in the back of my mind, though. Like, what's the ultimate play? Because that question's very valid, and I've asked myself that too. Like, I'm not trying to like get off the subject, but I just have to like tell you like how my mind works. Like, is it some of the same? Like, are they just trying to appear like, oh, we got the bad guy, but really there's something else in the works? Or is it like we're really getting exposed and finally some of this bad stuff's really
true? Like, have you seen what's happening with Twitter? The stuff that's being from Twitter and the Twitter files, supposedly. Mm-hmm. I think by the end of this week, we could have another conversation about Fauci, from what I've seen on Twitter, that there's supposed to be a big release on Fauci. The goal, I think, for these guys is to clean up a space where we can have open discourse. And I believe that they wanted to try and make some other spots, but they couldn't get people to go in enough to, Rumble or to... Trump's streaming things, or Trump's what's the site he wanted to
Frank Speech, Truth Social, Brighty, and BitChute.
All of them, yeah. BitChute, I like BitChute a lot too. There's a lot of things you can learn on BitChute that you can't learn on YouTube.
Right. And
we just can't get, we end up with an echo chamber, right? And Twitter has enough followers and enough people in business and finance, their marketing, their social media is tied to their accounts. They can't look away from Twitter, where they could look away from all these other ones if they were on it. And but they need to look at it. So if you can have a situation where we can just have a fair and equal platform, then I think that you will be able to see people start to be able to realize and make educated decisions on their own, as long as the information can make it to them. I don't think Trump becomes a very big presence on Twitter again.
And I don't think so.
And I don't think he wants to, right? I don't really think he wants to, because he wants all these other people to be able to bring in and expose information. I think that's why we've seen DeSantis step up to the table. Mm-hmm. The amount of information that's going to be exposed, Trump did enough by getting banned from Twitter and having Elon Musk go in and buy it to basically reinstate him. Allows the Republican people to come back to Twitter and feel okay about it. It allows the Democrat people to be on Twitter. And then if you're stop the shadow banning, then they can see a lot of the things that you were seeing and I were seeing on Twitter and Facebook, right? That weren't coming through. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the ones that always hits me like a ton of bricks is there was a young kid who had went to a Black Lives Matter event, and he kept reposting on social media the four kids from Antifa that were there. Always one kid, always one girl, three boys usually. I think it was four. I don't remember three of the three people, but I think it was usually packing four. And there's always one kid with a skateboard. Weird. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a whole platform that they have. The kid with the skateboard smashes the window in the cop car outside of Las Vegas. And then the girl, because they were trying to get them to attack the car and nobody would do it, the girl then throws a Molotov cocktail in, and all you see on the news is a giant gathering of African Americans in the middle of a cop car that's on fire. So people's reality is different because based on the perception. What really happened there wasn't portrayed. But every time that kid tried to upload that video, within a minute, it was gone from all these sites. Every single major site was pulling it down. So if we can have a situation where information like that can be distributed to everybody, everybody can have the opportunity to see it. It isn't instantly said that it's fake, you know, and by somebody who believes a validator that has completely a different agenda. You know, so anybody that believes anything that comes out of Snoops is, you really should do some investigation on Snoops.
Right. Yeah. Or even any more Wikipedia. But so do you think when Elon Musk and Binance came together and then also exposed FTX, do you think that was for the up and up, or do you think it was for political power and money, like getting more power or money?
So I'll give you answers on both sides of your thing. I think Elon Musk bought Twitter because now he owns everybody's DMs. Now he has a lot of power. He does. They can't attack him in certain ways. The EPA people can't attack Tesla. Tesla, it's funny that BlackRock gets this great ESG score and Tesla doesn't get, you know, it's mind-boggling, to be honest with you. But actually, at the same time, I'm glad it's happening because people can see that. So I think Elon did have more than one agenda for buying Twitter. The one that everybody sees, the free speech thing, I do believe that that's really what he wants to do with it. I think he will profit in this free speech thing, to be honest with you, too. I think he also bought Twitter because he's going to make the biggest payment processing system in the world out of it.
With PayPal?
So when him and Peter Thiel started PayPal it was maybe 98 or something like that before it came really big in 2000, and they ended up selling out. One of their goals that most people don't know about is that they were trying to create a currency that would be able to be used on PayPal, that would be finite, that wouldn't swing with the value like the dollar, like the DXY going up and down. Like, it would be a finite stuck amount that would just stick and people could store their wealth in, and they would use that as an alternative to the dollar. One of the things that people also didn't see, that didn't jive with me, was how he was bounced out as the CEO when he was on his honeymoon. It was a weird story. So what it looks more like to me in the history of money and studying money is that they ran up against a cartel that told them they were not going to do that, that they were forced to sell to eBay, and mm-hmm. eBay then took in PayPal and obviously got much bigger. But they went their separate ways. And when Elon was in an interview in 2008, he was very upset when he almost lost Tesla. Like, you could see contempt on his face. But years later, when they're talking about almost losing both Tesla and SpaceX, he seems to be okay with it, because it was his decision and not the market being collapsed, or because he was already feeling pretty secure with his alternative source of income, possibly. So somebody asked him, how does it feel to be the richest man in the world? And he just looked at the guy and goes, I thought I already was. So there's things that don't jive there, like Peter Thiel being one of the biggest Bitcoin guys in the world, and then Elon Musk not buying until 35,000. I have a hard time buying that. I have no proof alternative to that. But I was told that PayPal was one of the biggest holders of Bitcoin in the United States, by a person who was tracking all the wallets in the United States. So that was very interesting to see that. I also know that they, for years, in like 13, 14, 15, 16, before Bitcoin became regulated, I believe in 17, 16 or 17, mm-hmm. before it became regulated, they were taking payments from people like on game sites and stuff like that to buy like the fake game things, the skins and stuff like that. I can't remember the name of the game that a lot of people play, but the Dungeons and Dragons or whatever, that, you know, those kind of things are. They were taking a lot of online payments, and then they were processing probably the cash out through. I can see them holding the wallets. I don't have any proof, but I can see them holding the wallets, and that would accumulate large amounts of Bitcoin at a very small price. And they probably wouldn't have to have it on their balance sheet because it wasn't regulated at the time. So what the girl said to me made a lot of sense. And it was in a conversation about buying Bitcoin. Why would you buy Bitcoin? And that was one of the reasons why. But I think that Jack Dorsey being pushed out of Twitter, getting out of the way of Elon Musk coming in and taking out all the heads, and Elon Musk buying X.com back from PayPal, which was his original site for PayPal. So, and I think they're going to make a product called X. They said by 2028, they're going to have a large amount of people online with them. And I think one of the things that Jack Dorsey has wanted to do over the years, and I'm still up in the air on whether he's a good guy or a bad guy.
I don't think he's a good guy. I really don't.
I don't know for sure. But if, you know, I think he may have been puppeted while he was in Twitter. Because
I think they're all puppeted because they all have stuff on each other, so you can easily manipulate someone.
But the co CEO of Salesforce is part of the World Economic Forum.
I know he is.
Well, was, now he's not. But
oh,
you know, now he's not the co CEO.
Either way, I mean, I wouldn't trust him.
I'm sorry, co CEO of Twitter, which was Salesforce, is part of the. He was the co CEO of Twitter, also the CEO of Salesforce, and now I believe that he's gone from Twitter. So, I mean, it looks like they're cleaning house there. And at some point, you have to trust some people, right? I mean,
right.
It's the Musk has said some things that I didn't agree with. And then I've evolved and been more open about some of the things, you know, like there's a lot of things that happened to COVID that people didn't see. They were too busy in fear. And when you're in fear, you can't see. You only follow the direction. Given, you know, when I went to during COVID, when everybody was fighting for toilet paper and food, I was walking through buying a bunch of adult beverages for my wife and her friends that were going to come over and hoard at our house, and because we weren't going to be able to do anything for a couple weeks, and you know, I bought two things of ice cream for my kids, and this lady ridiculed me. She says, "Is this what you're buying for lockdown?" And I'm like, "You weren't ready for this?" And I'm like, Yeah, I mean, we were always ready, and you know, and but the perception was that I was a bad person because I wasn't buying food and fighting for the things that these people were, and it was interesting that somebody noticed it though too, and the when you see things, when you're not afraid, when you're able to look at things in a different light, you know, I didn't stay inside my house one day during COVID. I was right down in Scottsdale when they trashed the mall. Right. I was right there.
Standing
right
there. Wow. You were there?
Yeah. I was doing something else right in that area, but I was right there when it was happening. The police weren't trying to hold me back. The police weren't, the police let these kids off the bus, and actually they were just stood there and watched them destroy the mall. They weren't allowed to intervene. So interesting story though. If you think about it, do you think if Joe Arpaio was the sheriff, that would have happened? And who funded Paul Penza's campaign with $3 million? Or Soros. So there's things that you catch on to like that. And as I'm moving around more and more, I'm paying attention to the medical side of things, where the hospital, obviously, can't really say this for any other reason than COVID, but many people weren't going to the hospital for COVID in the middle of the summertime in Phoenix. We have a large homeless population that makes their way to the ERs all the time to get out of the environment. They always end up in the psych centers, which weren't overran.
About not being overran, if it was so overran, how did we have so many medical professionals doing dances on TikTok and Twitter and Facebook and all that? If it was so overran, like the media said, we wouldn't have seen any medical professionals doing dances. But we saw it galore everywhere we went on social media. Physicians and nurses were doing dance-offs at supposedly overrun hospitals.
Right. The homeless population wasn't overrunning these facilities, and the psych centers, this is where they usually end up. And I'm, there's a key point to what I'm saying right here. doing the other things that I was doing during the day. It was a lot of dead time. There wasn't a lot of people traveling at this point in time for business. Business was locked down to more what we're doing here right now. And so I started doing a lot of just daytime runs with people moving from hotel to hotel or off the streets to a hotel. And I ran into a lot of homeless people that had a lot of money because they were able to get the unemployment money from the federal money. I believe $6,500, what it was totaled. Mm-hmm. After it backlogged, there were people going around and they were able to file their unemployment, get them a bank account, and then they would get $6,500. These people got off the streets for the summer of 2020 in Phoenix. There was not very many people over the overpasses at all. And there wasn't many people on the streets like you would go out and see right now.
Now it's everywhere.
Everywhere. But these people were not on the streets at this time. And I did meet one of the kids that did it. He said he made about $200,000 in 3 months. And all he did was file the information for these people. Just he was a homeless kid himself. He had a Wi-Fi and a laptop, and he, you know, free market capitalism got him off the streets. There was an opportunity there, and he capitalized on it. I met a couple other people that did the same thing over the, because I was out there a lot doing this stuff, and then meeting the people. People were talking about, hey, we strategically picked this hotel that three of us have got together and we're going to move into. And, you know, some of them were saying that we're looking at this area because there's plenty of places to shop. We can get cleaned up. We can get clothes, and maybe can even get a job in one of these stores that are in this giant plaza. So there were some positive things that were happening. Now, for years, I had listened to universal basic income theories from people and just been like, I don't see where it works out. I don't see how it can help. But that took a lot of strain off the hospitals. That took a lot of strain off the psych centers. That took a lot of strain off the police in the summer of 2020.
But that is part of the World Economic Smart City agenda, a universal income where everyone's going to be equal, but that equal is poor. Actually, I'm really not in favor of that.
Neither am I, but but there is something to be said for what I just said right
sure,
there.
Of course.
So if in theory we were able to come up with a base currency for our country that was treasury based, that we issued to the citizenry, and we
what were, do you mean we're not treasury based in our country?
What? Yeah. So this is the other thing that that people don't understand a lot of times. There's many people are getting the fact that the Federal Reserve isn't part of the United States, right?
Right. It's not private, federal. There's no reserves.
It's a private entity, and a lot of people agree with you on that. But here's what I want you to pay attention to when you're talking to people about that. What do they refer to the dollar as? The U.S.
note,
dollar.
Federal note.
But they don't. They still refer to it as the U.S. dollar. And it's our dollar, and they're attacking us, you know, people who are attacking the dollar. And they will tell you that the Federal Reserve is not part of the United States, but they can't decouple the idea that the U.S. dollar isn't part of the United States. Mm-hmm. It's a tool that these guys use to control everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So
it crippled, honestly, the power of Congress, if you think about it, because the House of Representatives were supposed to have the power of the purse. They gave that power to a private company in the early 1900s. And these private bankers are controlling our money system. And that's a really sad thing. So we, the people, we were supposed to be in control of our own money system. But now this private entity who has grown actually in several countries, you know, London has it, Philippines has it. The central banks are everywhere. They control the people's money.
Every country has a central bank except Syria, Iran, Venezuela, North Korea, and Libya did not until our intervention in Libya via George Soros.
I didn't know that.
Yes, now they do, and they also have human auctions every day. You can buy a human for $400.
Well, you can buy a human here in the United States, too. It's called rape trafficking. I don't call it sex trafficking. It sounds consensual. It's called rape trafficking. The things that our government in general has been involved in is trafficking, rape trafficking of people, guns trafficking, and drug trafficking. People don't want to believe it because I don't want to even believe it because I thought, wow, our country is a lot more moral than other countries. Unfortunately, that's just not the truth. And if you look at the border situation, what are they smuggling? Drugs, money, people.
Yeah, I agree.
Why do you think they don't want to close the border? Because they don't want to stop the flow of their smuggling.
I'm 100% in agreement with you on that, on all those things. Except my perception of the government is that there are some good people in there.
Of course.
Right? That don't want these things to happen, right?
Of course.
But there are certain people that are put in certain places right. that are able to control certain things. And that's where you get into people who are blackmailed and then put right. in spots. You know, the operation is massive and huge and extensive from the 80s on. And these people oftentimes weren't initially bad people to begin with, but they got caught up in the Jeffrey Epstein thing, the partying in Florida with people that they believe were going to help them make their careers. And then they're on video with minors. You know, it's there's a very important
You're muted. There it is. Uh-huh.
All right, you're crackling a little bit. But there's a very important piece of information that was put out by Candace Owens a few weeks ago. And it was the documentation of the process of stepping down by Acosta, the labor secretary. And when that happened, she documents how C-SPAN was the only people to show up there to that event. No Fox, no CNN, no nobody else. I believe she documents that. But if she didn't, that's the case. Nobody, no major media showed up there except for C-SPAN. And the gentleman that asked Acosta about why he gave Jeffrey Epstein such a sweetheart deal in 2007 got a reply from Acosta that was something close to this. What deal? I didn't give him any deal. And because Acosta was the lead prosecutor in the 2007 case. The reporter then asks, how do you not call 13 months work release for admittedly raping a 14-year-old not a sweetheart deal? Mm-hmm. And Acosta's reply was, I know exactly what he got. My boss came to me and told me, and this is generalization of his reply. You have to look at the exact words. Candace put out the quote. But the generalization of his reply was, my boss came to me and told me that he was over my head, over my pay grade, I believe, was the comment that he used either in 2007 or then, and that we couldn't prosecute him because he was an intelligence asset.
Well, that's true, because look at who he dealt with, the Maxwells. It verifies what I just said early on in the show. The party, the Democrat Party, was captured by intelligence and by crime syndicates. And Hoover, our president, former President Hoover, who was also a head of the CIA, learned how to manipulate people with blackmail. Hey.